An important event took place in American military history on February the 23rd, 1945. A photograph was taken by Joe Rosenthal at a place called Iwo Jima, a volcanic island located between Japan and the Marian Islands. And in the picture, there were six soldiers depicted, five from the United States Marine Corps and one from the Navy, raising the flag of the United States atop Mount Suribachi. This was during the Battle of Iwo Jima in World War II. And it's a famous picture. It's a picture that perhaps we are familiar with. And I didn't know this, but this was actually the second raising of the flag that day. They had raised the flag before the famous one, but because of the location and because of the size of the flag, it was too small to be seen from the landing beaches. So they decided to raise another flag, and therefore the second flag was raised, and the rest is history. So it was actually the second flag raised on the mountain. And the question is, why was the raising of the flag on Mount Suribachi so important? And there are two reasons for this. Tactically, the top of Suribachi is one of the most important locations on the island. From that vantage point, the Japanese defenders were able to accurately fire down on the beaches. They were entrenched on the high ground, and they could see the Americans landing on the beachheads, and it was a perfect location to strike them. The Japanese fought most of the battle on Iwo Jima from underground bunkers and pillboxes. It was not uncommon for Marines to knock out one pillbox using grenades and a flamethrower, only to have it begin shooting again a few minutes later after more Japanese infantry slipped into the pillbox using a tunnel. This island was made of many tunnels underground where the Japanese soldiers were able to use them to their advantage to attack the Marines. Now, the American effort concentrated on isolating and capturing Suribachi first, a goal that was achieved on February the 23rd, 1945. Thus, that was the day of the photograph. But that was 4 days after the battle actually began. Now, despite capturing Suribachi, the battle continued to rage for many days, and the island would not be declared secure until 31 days later on March 26th. And I found it interesting that out of the six soldiers that were photographed, three of them died after the picture, later in battle. And the three survivors actually came back to the States, and they were heroes because of the picture, because of the photograph. It was such a famous photograph. But three of them died, laid down their life. So strategically, it was important for them to raise the flag. But symbolically, the raising of the flag on Mount Suribachi inspired the Marines to fight on. And you can imagine, picture yourself in your mind that you were a U.S. Marine on the beachhead, and you were obviously scared and fearful of the enemy, and you see on the top of Mount Suribachi, the flag of the United States of America. That would have been truly an incredible sight for the Marines to see that that mountain was taken. It would have been a great rallying point for the troops. It would have been a sign of victory, or perhaps impending victory, knowing that victory wasn't far away because they had conquered the most important point on that island, the mountain. And it would have inspired their courage to go on, to fight the good fight. And I want you to keep that imagery, I want you to keep that picture in your mind when we look at Isaiah 11, because I feel that that is a very good illustration of what the Bible is speaking about here in Isaiah 11. I'd like to focus on verses 10, 11, and 12 in Isaiah 11. Let's read those verses together. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which will stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. What a sight for the Christian to behold, looking to the ensign, or, if you will, the flag or banner. And this leads to two questions. What does the Bible mean by banner, and why is it used here in Isaiah chapter 11? Well, if you notice, the verses that we read just now doesn't have the word translated banner or flag. It has the word ensign. And the definition of ensign is a national flag displayed on ships and aircraft, often with a special insignia of a branch or unit of the armed forces, a standard or banner as of a military unit. And I learned that the ensign is placed on the bow of a ship in the Navy. It is there to remind sailors why they are serving, protecting, and defending their country. So those sailors that would look out to the sea and look out to see a beautiful sunset, they would oftentimes see that flag in the front of the ship. And it reminded them of why they were on the ship in the first place. It reminded them of their duty, of their obligation, and their desire to protect their country from enemies. And it's similar in the life of a Christian, even today as we worship the Lord in God's house. We must look to the ensign, the flag, the banner, for our trust, for our hope. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. We depend upon Him for our blessing and protection. And there is none other that we look to than the ensign, the banner, the flag, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think the spirit of John the Baptist really captures the desire to look to the banner when John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but He must increase. Here John the Baptist shares with us his desire to see Jesus Christ lifted up in His life, lifted up in worship, lifted up in prayer, lifted up as we read the Scripture. And this ought to be the spirit that runs in our hearts after the Lord. Oh, that we might decrease and Jesus Christ might increase, that the banner might be raised high above us so that others will see our blessed Savior. You know, I'm afraid today that many churches have lost sight of the banner. They've lost sight of the flag. They've lost sight of the ensign, the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather than raising Christ in church, they raise men in church. They raise entertainment in church. They raise music in church. That's their flag. That's the thing that they want people to see and to get away, come away from in the church service. Those things. But we must, as Christians, focus on the banner that God has raised up, the standard by which we must follow, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the context here in Isaiah chapter 11, in verse 10, the word ensign or banner is connected with another imagery, the root of Jesse. And in order to really understand the emphasis and power of the word ensign, it would be in order for us to just go into some detail regarding the root. For this is the imagery that sets up the imagery of the banner. So it would be important for us to examine just very briefly some of the truths behind this imagery of the root. Now, we know what a root is, right? We know that the root is a part of a tree. And it's that part of a tree that lies under the surface of the soil. It's that which is not visible with the naked eye. It's, if you will, invisible and not seen. But in our text here in verse 10 of Isaiah 11, This root is identified as a specific root. It says it's a root of Jesse. And the root of Jesse identifies the Lord Jesus Christ as one who comes from humble beginnings. Now we know that the son of Jesse was David. But Jesse himself was a very humble man. He was a very low man. He wasn't a king or a general or a famous person in Israel. He was just a humble man. And the scripture here takes the name of Jesse and applies it to this imagery of the root. The root of Jesse. And what does this teach us about the Lord Jesus Christ? The root of Jesse. Well, in the Old Testament, Christ was like a root. He was not really visible to the naked eye. He wasn't visible in the eyes of men. If you will, he was underneath the ground. He was hiding, or if you will, behind this imagery of the root. And this root suggests this idea of a humble beginning. So when you understand the imagery that the Holy Spirit is using here in verse 10, it's to set up the imagery of the banner. Here for so long, hundreds of years, thousands of years, the Lord Jesus Christ is the root. He's hidden. He's out of sight. He's not raised up at all. And the origins of this root comes from a very humble origin, a very plain man. Nothing really spectacular about this man. But when Christ is born, when Jesus Christ comes in His incarnation, now the imagery changes from the root of Jesse to the banner or the ensign of God. Now Jesus Christ comes as man, and now people see the Lord Jesus Christ. He's no longer the root. He's no longer underground. He's no longer invisible, if you will. But now He's visible. He's made known to the nations. And now He is raised up as the banner to the nations. And this describes this progressive revelation in Scripture that in the Old Testament, Christ was silent. He was quiet. He wasn't seen. But now, with the incarnation and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's described with the image of a banner. Christ is born. And the image changes, doesn't it, in verse 10. Christ is now visible and lifted up. He's raised up to be a standard for the people. We read in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 10. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Well, Christ is that standard. And this is the fulfillment of the standard in His incarnation, in His life, in His death, and in His resurrection. The nations are to look to the One who is to redeem them from their sins. I like what we read in Exodus chapter 17, verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, which is translated God, our banner. It's one of the names of God, Jehovah Nissi. And it is defined or translated as God, our banner. Here we see God, our banner in Isaiah chapter 11. He comes in His incarnation and He now draws all men to Himself. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 23. I was set up or lifted up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Christ is the banner and standard set up from everlasting. It was His mission. It was His purpose in God's eternal counsel to be the banner. It was His position to have all men come to Himself in salvation. And this is the decree of God from the very beginning, from the very everlasting delight of God in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 23. It speaks about Christ being lifted up before all nations. I like this quote from a preacher of old. He says, "Indeed, our Savior is the ensign lifted up through the whole written word and displayed from Sunday to Sunday in the preached gospel. He's lifted up on high by Moses and the prophets, and by the inspired apostles of the New Testament. And after them, all the ministers of Christ and all His churches through the whole earth and to the end of time are standard bearers to bear His name and truth, His law and covenant, His promises and judgments to all people. We preach Christ crucified, buried, risen, ascended, and reigning at the Father's right hand and coming again in the clouds of heaven. He was lifted up as an ensign on the cross and from the grave in His resurrection and yet more in His exaltation to the right hand of power. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God and the righteousness of God for us. What a banner, what a flag, what a standard to look to, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible uses the image of the banner to point us to Christ. Are you looking to Christ today? Are you looking to the Savior? Are you looking away from your circumstances, looking away from your feelings, looking away from those things which would discourage you and cause fear to come upon you? Are you looking outside of yourself to the banner, the Lord Jesus Christ? Why does the Bible point us to the banner? The three reasons. I'd like to look at these three reasons with you for the time that's remaining. And they're basically the same three reasons that we looked at with regards to the illustration of the picture of the Marines on the island of Iwo Jima. First of all, the Bible wants us to look to Jesus Christ as the banner because it rallies us. It unites us. An ensign is a conspicuous thing to be looked at, seen, beheld, and considered, and such is Christ. I came home from work this week, and never know what I'm going to see when I come home with my son, Zachary. He's at that creative age where he's always building things, and he loves to build things, and then he builds more things, so we have a lot of things in our house that are built. But he might be an engineer, who knows. But this week he built, or he made a flag, and he didn't know I was preaching from Isaiah 11. He made himself a flag and made it out of a stick, and I thought it was pretty good. And here I come into the house and I go to the back of the window and I see this little boy walking around with his flag. And I didn't see him so much, but I saw the flag. That was the thing that I focused my eyes on, was the flag. And so I walked out, talked to him, and he showed me his design. And, you know, I thought it was very creative. But I thought about how, when you see a flag, it's so conspicuous you can't miss it, that your eyes go right to it. And that's the point here in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10 and 12, is that the banner is that which we look at, is what we gaze upon, is what we focus on. It's not the person so much. You might be hearing, you might see a man here preaching, but hopefully you don't see the man in your soul, in your heart. You see the banner. You see Jesus Christ lifted up, because that's what's being emphasized in the preaching of the Word. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking to Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 65, the emphasis in that chapter is, behold me, in Isaiah 65. It's talking about the Messiah, and it's talking about how we are to look to the Messiah. What a wonderful chapter. If you haven't read that lately, read Isaiah 65 if you have a chance today. It's a wonderful passage that focuses our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, we read, they shall look upon Him whom they have pierced. So see, the banner, the flag, is that which you look at. And that's even the imagery in the photograph of the six soldiers. You see the soldiers, but what do you see most of all? It's the flag. It's the flag of the United States. And that's the point here in Isaiah 11. And that is what rallies us. That's what unites us, the Lord Jesus Christ. We must look and admire, look and love, look and ascend to Him on the wings of strong desire and unfailing faith. He has said in John chapter 12, verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. which Christ is confirming self-assertion or assertion that he is the banner. And he proclaims that he is the banner in John 12, verse 32. From heaven, we also look for him again in power and great glory. The angels of Jesus bid the disciples do so in the hour of his ascension. In Acts 1, verse 11, they say to the disciples, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." This is the banner. When Christ comes again, it's going to be illustrated or going to be symbolized in the banner, the flag. All eyes will see our Savior. He was lifted up as an ensign on the cross. And from the grave in his resurrection, and yet more in his exaltation to the right hand of God, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God and the righteousness of God for us. When you think about Christ as the banner on the cross, you see one who is a substitute for your sins. You see one who took your place. The banner. The flag. He wasn't supposed to be there. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't sin. But he went to the cross to be a banner for sinners. To be the standard for sinners. Because we don't have the righteousness capable of standing before a holy God. We don't have the goodness that will be accepted before God. But Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ is the banner for the sinner. Jesus Christ is the standard for the sinner. We must look to the Lord Jesus Christ as our standard. So it's that rallying point. And the standard is for union, for the gathered people to unite under, to unite in affection and to join their strength, and such is Christ to His church. One of the things that you discover here in this place is that we have different likes, we have different dislikes, we have even different beliefs in the church. But what unites us together on the Lord's Day? What unites us together in prayer? What unites us together in our fellowship? It's the banner. It's the flag. It's Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, I think that there are churches that they have their flag as being certain distinctives that draws people together, that unites people together. Not here. Not in this church. No, the thing that unites our hearts is Jesus Christ, the ensign. Jesus Christ, the banner. There's only one Lord and one body, one faith and one baptism, one covenant. His promises to all people, to His people. We preach Christ crucified, buried, risen, ascended, and reigning at the Father's right hand, and coming again in the clouds of heaven. And this is the unity that we enjoy even today. The reality of Christ, the banner, is actually going forth as I speak, because it's that which draws us together. You're here today, hopefully, because of the banner of God. You're here because of our Savior. You're not here for any other reason but to meet with the Lord. And that's in keeping with Isaiah chapter 11, verses 10 and 12. And all Christians, all true believers, declare themselves to be as one and bind themselves to do so. They enlist in one cause and engage in one design, which is Christ. I like what John 11, verse 52 says, that He should gather together in one the children of God which are scattered abroad. Well, what is that thing that unites them to be one? The banner, the flag. They gather to Him as their common Lord in general, to His colors, or if you will, into His fold. For there is one fold and one shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one head of the church. It's not the Pope. It's not Dalai Lama. It's Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. He is the banner. And the many members are one body, made alive by one Spirit and having the same care one for another. So therefore, Jesus Christ is the center of unity to His people. The faith and love in Him is the bond and means of it. What He asked of the Father for His chosen, that His apostles declare to be granted in true and fact, He prayed for them that they may be one, one in us, as Thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. This the apostle affirms of true believers. You are all one in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we forget that, don't we? We become discouraged. We have a tendency perhaps to drift and look at people and to and that can be very discouraging when you start focusing on individuals. And when you get your eyes off of the banner, you can become very vulnerable to all kinds of disconcerting thoughts and unbelief. But this message today is all about the banner. It's all about Christ. I know some of us are going through uncertainties with our jobs. I know that we have uncertainties in other areas. And we may even say that we have our good days and bad days. But I want this message to be that which rallies your heart again to the banner. Perhaps you've been thinking too much about things that are beyond your control. Maybe you're just anxious and nervous and you become overwhelmed with the whole matter. You need to let go of those thoughts and look outside of yourself and focus upon the banner. He's our rallying point, the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 says, they were of one heart and of one soul. And that which, Acts 4:32, which again tells us that they were looking to the banner, because Scripture tells us that that is the banner which unites His people. So soldiers are one, an army of one, and their unity like the form of a phalanx, and their force and strength to bear down all before them. That was the great genius behind the phalanx. A phalanx was a military formation that the Greeks developed and mastered. And what was so powerful about that formation was that you had many men in that formation, but they acted as one. And it was so powerful against the enemies that they faced. And it's the same idea in the Church of Jesus Christ. We're like a phalanx. We are like a comprised of many parts, comprised of many members, but we function as one unit. And oh, that we would be blessed afresh to know the blessings of unity among the brethren, and it's all because of the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit wants us to look to the banner. It rallies us, but it also reminds us that our victory is in the banner. Our victory is in the banner. When those Marines looked on the beachhead, when they saw the stars and stripes flying from the mountain, they knew that those soldiers were victorious. They had conquered the mountain. And that encouraged them to press on, to fight the good fight. And it's the same idea in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a standard that can never fail, can never fall. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not a tittle of His word will pass away. The everlasting God fainteth not, neither is weary. And I like this illustration of victory in Christ. A Samson may faint for thirst, and one of the three mighty men with David smote the Philistines till his hand was weary and cleaved to his sword, but numbed with holding it so long and fast. But they that war under Christ shall renew their strength. What a contrast. We think of these mighty men of God, Samson and the mighty men of David. But they grew tired. They grew weary. But the Bible says that we who are under Christ will renew our strength. We become stronger under Christ. We don't become weakened. We become stronger because our banner is victorious, because our God is our standard. Doesn't that encourage your heart today? And we sometimes go through that weariness of the flesh. Are we really, when we feel this way, are we really looking to the banner? Because the Bible says that if we're looking to the banner, it's not to cause weakness and weariness, but it's to renew our strength. We're actually become stronger when we look to Jesus Christ. The apostle says, the God of grace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The enemy may sometimes roar in the midst of the congregation and set up his ensign in assurance of victory. He may prevail over a Peter in an assault, but not in the war. No, Jesus has prayed for him, the Scripture says. That is Peter, and his faith fail not. And he returns to his colors. Keep to your ensign and your fright away the enemy. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, the Bible says. And I love that portion of Scripture where it says that Jesus prayed for Peter, and Peter's faith will not fail, the Lord Jesus said. He prays for us. He prays for us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows how vulnerable we are. But under His banner, under His protection, we're victorious. And that's how God sees His people. He sees us as victorious because we're united to Christ. Because we are in union with the Savior. If you're not in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no victory. You're defeated. And you're enslaved by the prince of this world, the devil. But if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in Him, you are victorious. And that's what the banner signifies. So we looked at the rallying of the banner. We looked at the victory that we see in the banner. Thirdly and lastly, let's look at how the flag or the banner inspires our courage. How it inspires our courage. The flying colors put life into the soldier and led him on intrepidly. There's something about the flag that when soldiers see it, when they think that they're all done with fighting, all of a sudden there's this rejuvenation that comes upon them. There's this second wind, if you will, and they see this flag and they're revived. They're revived and they fight the good fight. And it was before the flag would be raised, they were going to give up. They were going to desert. They were going to just give up the fight and lay down their arms. But the flag was raised, signifying that I must press on. I must press on toward the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ. That's courage that's inspired because of the banner. Christ encourages us. Christ says, look on me and do likewise. Come and on without fear. He says in Joshua chapter 1 and Judges 7, Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid or dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Love the words, be not afraid or dismayed. What will dismay you? What will make you afraid? Your circumstances, because they change. Your feelings, they change. But Christ never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we look to Him, we're not dismayed. We're encouraged. Our courage is inspired to fight on. I think what Pastor Bannister was saying about this expectation that we sometimes it comes and goes in our hearts, and we hate the condition when it goes. We feel alone and isolated. But oh, how we get that expectation back is by looking to the banner. And when we look to Jesus Christ, He encourages us. He strengthens us. He gives us what we need for the good fight. Christ can inspire fortitude and strength to endure hardness, to resist unto blood, to be steadfast and unmovable, and not draw the hand back that stretches out the spear. My wife and I received a book this week entitled Tortured for Christ, and I just started reading it. But it's an amazing book that really makes you humbled at what God's people have had to endure for the sake of the gospel. And you think, how did they do it? I mean, I could never do that. Well, yes, you could do that. If you're looking to the banner, if you're looking to the flag, if you're looking to the ensign, that's what they were doing. That's what gave them strength beyond their strength. That gave them hope beyond their hope. When all seemed dark, when all seemed hopeless, when all seemed like all was lost, they looked to Jesus Christ, and Christ was their banner. Christ never forsook them. Some of these things that these that accounts of God's people, what they had to endure, yeah, from a human perspective, you would think, I could never do it. But how did they do it? How did they overcome? They looked to the banner. They looked to the flag. And there, their courage was inspired. Their faith was strengthened. They became emboldened. And the Holy Spirit gave them the grace sufficient to go through their ordeals and their trials for Christ. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, we read, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." And that power comes from Christ. And that's what Isaiah 11 speaks about. The banner. It's a powerful force in the life of the Christian. It's not just a force, it's a person. The flag's not a representative of a country or a city or a state, but it's a person, Jesus Christ. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 37 and 38, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." How can someone say that? And when you realize all the things that Paul suffered and went through, he could say that because he was encouraging himself in the banner. He was receiving strength beyond himself to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I close with this. Are you looking to Christ? Is Christ your banner today? Is He your ensign? Is He your standard? Let Christ be great and good and glorious in your eyes. The chiefest of 10,000 and altogether lovely. Be you as the valiant of Israel about his bed. They all hold swords and are expert in war. Every man has his sword upon his thigh because of the fear in the night. Let faith make your necks like the towers of David, built for an armory, wherein there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Such you will become by faith in your Savior and obedience to Him. And he that is feeble shall be as David, and the house of David as the angel of God. See your need of Christ today, and your God in your glory. See the danger of distancing yourself from Him. Mourn all your desertions from Him, all your rebellions against Him. And turn and look to the banner and live. Let us pray.